This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Just starting, I hope that I will be a reasonable substitute and will get you off to a good start for what is obviously going to be a very important conference for you. Localism, which is where we are at the moment, is about changing the emphasis from everything being dictated and directed from the centre and transferring that to the local. And I think we would probably all agree that decades of centralisation have not created the excellence and services that the public deserves. Public sector productivity has decreased. Fundamental social problems have not been solved. And public trust in our democratic institutions has, for a number of reasons, been undermined. So, in the last year, the government has acted swiftly to lift much of the burden of bureaucracy off local government. It has already scrapped unnecessary legislation and prescription, and it's got rid of the top-down targets, burdens, and red tape previously being imposed on local government. So we are making, therefore, fundamental changes in the way government works at every level. And it's our intention to see power pushed downwards as far as possible to make localism a reality. Now, many of our reforms are being delivered through the localism bill, which I'm currently taking through the House of Lords, and which is expected to receive royal assent later on this year. So, quite simply, the measures in the bill, and there are many, do shift power from the centre into the hands of local authorities, communities, and individuals. It's our belief that and the hope that the general power of competence will give councils the legal reassurance and confidence to act in their residents' best interests by enabling them, not the residents, the councils, to do anything that an individual can do as long as it is legal. So, effectively, councils are given much more power than they had, always restricted by what could and could not do. Hopefully, that will open up ways to help local councils act more innovatively to drive down costs and deliver more efficient services. The whole series of new community rights give local people, individuals and community groups, more power over how these services are provided and by whom. Voluntary and community organisations, small and medium enterprises, members of staff of a local authority will have the right now to challenge the way local services are run by putting forward a business proposal to take over responsibility for the service, such as possibly children's centres, social care, libraries, meals on wheels, transport, or any part of all of that. The community right to buy will give local communities the right to identify and have listed assets of value to them, such as the last pub or the last shop in a village, sports facilities, libraries, but only when and if these come up for sale. They would then be given a short time to come up with a business plan and find the money to take over the running of these facilities. And they could only sell to a willing seller. They could only buy from a willing seller. Then there is a right for local people through neighbourhood planning to have a full say over what their local area will look and feel like in the future. Our proposals for business rate retention, published in the summer, represents a fundamental shift in the way that local authorities are to be funded. The proposals make clear that all authorities should have the opportunity to benefit from growth in their local business rates. We have also confirmed that we will introduce tax increment financing powers, enabling councils to borrow against future increases in business rates to fund the provision of infrastructure and to unlock additional economic growth. Following consideration of the responses to this, the government will bring forward legislation to give effect to the changes. Now, as I have said, the government's public service reform agenda is underpinned by a commitment to decentralisation and localism. The Open Services White Paper sets out the steps the government is taking to ensure everyone can benefit from better and more individualised services through innovation, efficiency and coordinated commissioning. These proposals should provide councils with the freedom to achieve greater value for taxpayers by encouraging greater diversity of providers, better opportunities to influence coordinated services across the public sector, greater autonomy to deliver and develop services which respond directly to the needs and preferences of local people. So we believe that by putting choice and control in the hands of individuals and neighbourhoods, public services will become more responsive. So strong local government is at the heart of our reforms. And we believe that it can decide for itself its structures and its best value structures. So we have withdrawn nearly 56 pages of guidance on a range of duties and associated issues on how local councils should agree their priorities, engage their citizens, lead their communities, and commission public services. And we have replaced that with a single page of light touch guidance, which we issued in September. This change gives the councils the flexibility to exercise appropriate discretion in considering the requirements and circumstances of individual cases without Whitehall trying to predict and control every possible variable. Many councils have already delivered significant efficiencies and savings without compromising the quality of services they provide. But there is still more that can be done. A renewed and concerted focus on adopting shared services and increased collaboration, putting emphasis on productivity above processes, can further reduce duplication and unnecessary costs. Local government and other public bodies should work together to identify opportunities to improve productivity by cooperating, reducing unnecessary costs, and focusing resources on where they can make the best difference. So one of the most fruitful areas for this is through good strategic asset management. This enables local authorities to bring together resources, both buildings and services, to improve the delivery of public services and make much more use and effective use of capital assets. It's interesting that the economic value of publicly owned assets in England is in the region of £385 billion. Approximately two-thirds of that is held by local authorities. That includes housing, schools and leisure facilities. The area-based asset management project highlighted the potential for savings of around 20% from a strategic joined-up asset management approach. So in difficult times, we must actively manage assets and capital investment, making the most of what we have to enhance services, rationalise the use of buildings, and support and grow the growth and regeneration. So unfortunately, we think that control from Whitehall has created uncoordinated and unnecessarily expensive public service silos. And you're all here working all the time in local government, and I hope will feel the reaction that services would be better if they were able to be more responsive to local people's needs. And that's not because you're not doing that. It's because there's been a great deal of red tape from the centre, which we think that you can probably do without. The Secretary of State made clear on Monday at the launch of the Community Budget Perspective, and I quote from what he said, "We can no longer afford the luxury of fruitless, uncoordinated investment." I don't know whether any of you are already engaged in community budgets, but the whole new programme on that is just getting off the ground. And we believe that the community budgets, that is the bringing together of budgets from all across the public sector to help individual people, to see how services can be better delivered for individuals so that you don't have five or six people going in through somebody's door. You can confine that to one and make sure that everything is coordinated from there. And the whole pressure and the whole basis of community budgets, as indeed have been the government's reforms so far, is to bring the individual into focus. I think people don't want to have things done to them anymore. They want to be in a position to be able to say how they need that and what is the best way for them. So the reforms in community budgets are not about any one local public service provider having a monopoly on power and resources, but cooperation and help across the piece. But nor are they about central government mandating what localities do. At the heart of community budgeting is a new freedom for service providers to come together, to tell government how things could be done differently, with a presumption the government will respond positively, to use resources flexibly. And I remember from my time as leader of a council that it was absolutely impossible to do what I wanted to do, which was to bring the health service, social care together, because there was no possibility of being able to pool a budget. You had to work in those silos I've been talking about, which just made it, you couldn't shift the thing on sufficiently. Now, with community budgeting, that all ought to become much easier. So neighbourhood-level community budgets will give people more power over the local services and budgets that are delivered in their locality. So, as has been announced earlier this week, two areas will be invited to design and run a public service budget programme controlled at neighbourhood level. A further two areas will design and run a whole place programme to test how all public services can be integrated and managed as a single budget with a council boundary or wider city area within. Each pilot will establish devolved budget and policy-making structures to secure better, coordinated, more efficient services. The challenge will be for those pilots to tell us how local services can, under those, be better run. So I'm not going to be able to guarantee that the government will be able to respond positively to all the issues that will be raised. And I know there will be many, and you will come across barriers and hurdles as you go, or those who are undertaking the pilots and then the rest of you when we get going. But what the government has been trying to do as well, and where I've had a role to play, not only in asset management, but in the working out of the community budgets, is what barriers get set up between the local and the centre that need breaking down. For instance, with capital asset management, one of the problems we came across was that every department has a different rule about capital receipts. And to try and bring some sort of common sense into that, we've had to hit a few heads around the place. A further two areas, following those other two pilots, will design and run a whole place programme to test how all public services can be integrated and managed as a single budget within a council boundary. Each pilot will establish devolved budget and policy-making structures to secure better coordinated, more efficient services. Now, while the government is not going to be able to respond positively to all those issues, I can assure you that we will listen to what we are told and help local areas to design the services that are best for them and, much more importantly, their individual users. So I've only been able, in the last 15 minutes or so, to give you a flavour of the action that the government has been taking to reinvigorate local government, to remove the obstacles that stand in the way of it fulfilling its proper role as a leader of its community. We are reprioritising government so that local governments and communities are the ones who make the decisions and carry out the policies for their area. I hope you agree that we've gone a long way towards making that a reality. The true test of localism will be that local people are able and feel able to shape their services for what they need. Crucially, holding local government to account for the decisions that are taken on their behalf. So I hope that the conference that you're at today will be able to build on the outline I have given you, rather than going into depth. These are extremely important matters, extremely important issues. Local government has responded to everything thrown in its way, and we've all had the feeling that we are doing our best. That's not always the feeling that you get back from people who you're doing it to. So it's very much trying to stop local government being the driver of other people's lives, but responding to their lives and helping them out when they need it and providing the services we all need to make sure that everything runs smoothly. So I do hope you have a very good day.